Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the messengers of John the Baptist had left, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine garments? Those who dress luxuriously and live sumptuously are found in royal palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom sacred scripture says, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of woman, no one is greater than John. Yet, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people who listened, including the tax collectors, were baptized with the baptism of John, acknowledging the righteousness of God. But the Pharisees and scholars of the law who were not baptized by him rejected the plan of God for themselves. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, how fortunate we are this year that we've got the full Advent so that we can hear this preparation that the Church gives us. This is the second to last day of the days before December 17th, and so we would encounter this reading only once every 4 or 5 years, depending upon where leap years fall. It's a very, 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 very important part of our preparation. We're not really going to fully understand the Magnificat antiphons for Christmas and the Epiphany without it. The first reading from Isaiah, it talks about the Advent and the encounter and the life-changing reality, those three moments of Advent, in a spousal key. He who has become your husband is your maker. His name is the Lord of hosts. The Lord calls you back like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, wife married in youth and then let go. For a brief moment I abandon you, but with great tenderness I take you back. Spousal key. John the Baptist's whole work is to be the friend of the bridegroom, to prepare the bride for the bridegroom. So that's the first thing he does in getting us ready, by announcing to us what it takes to get ready for the bridegroom, to protect us from the way that the enemy wants to make us unworthy of that bridegroom. And then as the herald, John is the one who goes out to say, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet Christ the Lord." He's the one who helps us to get our lamps trimmed to keep enough oil so that we can go with him into this new relationship, this continuous nuptial banquet, in which, if we really focus on what's happening in life, never ends. That the bridegroom is here, even in the midst of difficulties, we are wedded to him. And so that changes everything. When we look at what Jesus says about John the Baptist in today's Gospel, it says, "He is the one about whom Scripture says, 'I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way before you.'" That he was the long-awaited Elijah, in other words, the one who was a trigger. Basically, the one to whom all the Jews were looking as the precursor to the Messiah. What a job description. But then Jesus says something extraordinary. Among those born of woman, none is greater than John. Yet the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why is that? John was the friend of the bridegroom. We are the bride. We become the body. We enter into Jesus' own relationship with the Father. John was able to indicate it. But the reality that happens to us is so much greater. That doesn't mean, by the way, that morally we're better than John. We might not say yes to God the way John did. But at a sacramental level, we have been raised so much higher than nature and the correspondence to the old covenant was ever going to, were ever going to be able to do. Do we grasp that? Again, this is part of that spousal reality. That in the kingdom, having become Jesus' bride and body, we have been raised to a situation that by God, greater than anyone would have been able to achieve on his own. That's what grace does. And that's what we're marking as we prepare for Christmas. That the one who was born in Bethlehem is the one who has come to espouse himself to us forever. He is the one who, as St. Paul would write in his letter to the Ephesians, by water and the word was going to sanctify us, giving his life for us, his bride, to make us holy and immaculate. This is the one who identified himself as the bridegroom and called us to celebrate in his presence. The one being born is the one who has loved us with a love that will never be taken back. I love this passage at the end of Isaiah's reading today. This is for me like the days of Noah, when I swore again that water should never deluge the earth. So I have sworn not to be angry with you or to rebuke you. My love shall never leave you, nor my covenant of peace be shaken, because the Lord has mercy on you. This is the one who is making something irreversible with us. The Lord will never take away that spousal love. So as we come to the banquet, let us go out with joy to meet Christ the Lord, as John the Baptist prepares us to meet him by indicating to us the Lamb, the bridegroom, and summoning us to this holy encounter. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.